Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Howard Weimer. He is interested in inner guidance and believes that we get at least 80 to 90 hunches, visions, ideas and feelings every single day. And he feels that most people need to know how to tune into their hunches and be able to tell whether they are true or not. And Howard, who has written a book about it, will tell us how to do that in the course of the program. Are you there, Howard?
Oh, I am, Mike. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome, and of course, welcome to the program. What I'd like to first ask you is, how did you get into the idea of taking a serious, or making a serious subject out of hunches? Where did it all start?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mike. I was looking at your website today, and I realized that you said that you started out reading some of the Edgar Cayce books back in the 70s, and believe it or not, I had the same experience. I was about 2 months out of college, and I remember one of my roommate that I had in college said that a gentleman by the name of Edgar Cayce had written a book on Atlantis, and you know, I had no clue who Edgar Cayce was or anybody even similar to that. And about a year after that, I was listening to a radio show 35 years ago, similar to the one that you're doing, and they started talking about Atlantis. And for some reason, in the back of my mind, I heard this voice in my head say, Edgar Cayce wrote a book on Atlantis. So I called the local bookstore, and I said, well, do you have any books by Edgar Cayce? And they said, yes, we have a whole rack. So I went down there, and I got the one on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I got the one on Atlantis, and I got, I think it was the one on reincarnation. And I took those home, and I started reading about it. And then a couple of weeks later, I was listening to the same show, and I went to a lecture. And the gentleman was talking about energy, he was talking about guidance, he was talking about using your hunches and so forth. And I started learning about the spiritual gifts. And a lot of people don't realize that it's not just the idea of getting hunches or impressions or visions or feelings or ideas, but it's actually, in essence, our whole personality and how we deal with people, how we communicate with ourselves, how we communicate with other people, and if we, obviously, if we pay attention to those hunches, then life becomes a lot more fun. It's not, you know, you mentioned the word serious, but to be honest with you, I like the idea of making life fun and enjoyable. Obviously, I'm sure you do too. But the idea is not to take it so seriously, but to listen.
Yeah.
And to trust, okay, which is really the key word. Trust is the key word.
And how long ago was that, when you actually...
That was in 1973, in October of 1973, that I first started getting involved in spiritual things.
Right.
And I started doing lectures on my own. I started sharing with people how to work with these gifts and what they meant. You know, as you mentioned, I just wrote a book. It's called Inner Guidance and the Four Spiritual Gifts, and it talks about... Yes. The gift of prophecy, which is like an inner knowing for things. Sometimes we don't know how we know. We just know. And if we trust those inner knowings, we trust those hunches and impressions, then obviously we'll be in the right place at the right time. One of the things that I like to share with people is that there's a huge difference between our true feelings inside and our emotions. And what keeps us from trusting how we really feel are the things that we've been taught to feel, that we, as most people know, we pick those ideas or those concepts up in our first 7 years.
Yeah.
So that's what blocks us. That's what keeps us doubting ourselves. That's what keeps us, you know, kicking ourselves in the shin when we don't follow that hunch or that impression, and we end up in the soup.
Yes. So you've obviously had plenty of years to put your ideas to the test, and you must have had a lot of feedback from people who have followed what you recommend. Can you think of any particular successful hunches that people have had and tell us what the results were?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I mean, there's been thousands of them. you know, I tell you what, Mike, how about, why don't I share it with you and your listeners this one? It's really an experience that I had, and I wrote about this in the book, and it was in 1978, and I started out as a musician. I started out in high school, like a lot of kids do, and I played trumpet, and I got interested in jazz and arranging and composing and so forth. So I grew up in that environment, and I used to go to the National Jazz Clinics, and I played professionally in college and so forth. Mm. And then I got interested in radio and television, and I had a little jazz radio station. I think I earned something like $3.25 an hour at a little station in Texas. But I loved the music and so forth, and I took a film course, and I got interested in that. Well, the reason I'm mentioning that is because in 1978, I couldn't get it out of my system that I wanted to go to Los Angeles, and as I was driving through Phoenix, I told my spiritual helpers, my guidance or my guides, that I wanted to work with the best people in Hollywood. Well, I thought that was a nice goal, and then the night I got there, I got this hunch or I got this impression, wouldn't it be great to work with Steve Allen, and then I could do some of the spiritual lectures on the side and so forth. Now, you know, you and I know who Steve Allen is probably, but people under 30, it's kind of like working with Jay Leno, okay?
Yeah.
Every time I mention Steve Allen to somebody who's under 30, they look at me with a glazed look in their eye.
Yeah.
But anyway, he started The Tonight Show, as you know, on NBC in Los Angeles or around the country in the United States, and a very famous guy, and used to have his own show, and just was terrific. And I grew up watching him on television. And a friend of mine, of my father's, actually had worked with him for a long time, but I didn't even mention to her that I had gotten this hunch.
Hmm.
Well, the next day, I was driving down the 405 freeway, the San Diego freeway, and I had a feeling to get off at Sepulveda Boulevard, which if people are familiar with L.A., they know what that is. And I was driving down Burbank Boulevard in Van Nuys, and I had a feeling to stop dead in my tracks, and I looked up, and I couldn't move. I mean, I couldn't go forward if I wanted to, and I looked in my rearview mirror just to make sure nobody was running into me. And I said, well, I've got to do something. So I turned left in between these two buildings, and believe it or not, I looked up, and there was Steve Allen on a parking space. You know, a little sign there. It said Steve Allen, and I went, oh, my, got to be kidding. And right at the same time, there were these two ladies getting out of a car next to me, and I got out of my car, and I kind of followed them up the stairs because I had a feeling that, you know, this must be something, or there must be something here. So I walked up, and obviously I saw that it was Steve Allen's office, and I turned to his secretary, and I said, hi, my name is Howard Weimer. I was just wondering if there was an opportunity to work here. And she looked at me a little bit strangely, and she said, how did you know this guy gave his two-week notice 3 hours ago? And I said, well, what was I supposed to say, right, Mike? I mean, you know, you say, well, my angels told me, or my spiritual helpers told me, or my guidance told me. You know, I didn't say that. You know, I didn't want to embarrass myself too much. And she said, why don't you go into the piano area, the music room. And I sat down there, and of course, I showed her my resume. She said, "You're overqualified for this." And I could hear my guidance in my mind, this voice in my head going, "Just take it, just take the job." Okay.
Yeah.
And I was replacing a college student who was running around, but I knew that if I got my foot in the door, obviously I could, you know, do pretty much what I wanted to do. And I was interested in writing, and as it turned out, Steve gave me a lot of opportunities to meet people and to do some writing and so forth. And I used to do his lead sheets, you know, which he couldn't read music, so I was able to take his music on a recording and write it down and so forth. But that was because of a hunch. That was because of an impression and also a goal that I set on the way out to Los Angeles.
Indeed.
So, you know, I could give you thousands and thousands of experiences. I remember one lady in Seattle told me one time that she was walking down the street in the evening at night after it was dark, and she heard a little voice in her mind go, why don't you walk on the other side of the street? And she didn't think that much about it. But she did it anyway, and she got on the other side of the street. And the next morning, she woke up and she said, "You know, I mean, I don't know why I had this feeling to walk on the other side of the street." And she picked up one of the newspapers in Seattle the next day, and there had been a mugging in the exact same area that she had been around the same time.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh my goodness, you know, am I glad that I listened to that voice in my mind? You know, I wasn't crazy by doing that." So, how many more do you want, Mike? I mean, this is.
Oh, that's brilliant. Very interesting. It's funny you should mention that type of incident because a few months ago I had a person on my program called Jock Brockus, and he's written a book about the sixth sense, and he's talking about the same thing, obviously, and he actually trains people because he's worked for government offices and in security to use it to protect themselves. But, of course, in this case, the lady was given guidance, wasn't she? Now, do you think that means that we have a purpose in life and that some of these things are meant to happen and that is why we get these little voices?
Well, I certainly believe that we do have a purpose in life, and I think most people believe that there is a purpose for being here. But to be honest with you, our purpose is not what people would normally think. Some people think that our purpose is our job or our profession, and I have a funny saying about that. I say, we didn't come here to be a doctor or a lawyer or a shopkeeper or a street sweeper. Okay?
Yeah.
Actually, our purpose is to share a spiritual message. In other words, it's something that we've put together for lifetimes. It's in our energy. It's almost like an inner philosophy of life. And that's why we attract people around us. I did a consultation, believe it or not, for a lady in Tanzania a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And we shared with her what her spiritual message was. And she says, "You know what? I've been doing that my entire life." Okay? And, you know, it just hits home when somebody, when someone finds out what their real life purpose is, what their spiritual message is. It's almost like an inner core inside of themselves, or an inner philosophy, as I mentioned. And it's what we've come not only to live for ourselves first or to be an example of, but it's also what we came here to share with people, and that's why we attract certain people. For example, my spiritual message has a lot to do with being bold and being organized. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been pretty bold. I've always done pretty much what I wanted to do. When I was 12 years old, I told my father I wasn't going into the telephone business, and he owned 4 telephone companies. So,
yes.
You know, so you can imagine, you know, that it wasn't like, well, you know, he had a paper route or something. You know, this was a big business that he had, and I told him that I wasn't interested in going into the family business. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I've never regretted following my own path and following my own feelings, and I think that's really the key to everything. But I've always been very bold, but I knew that I needed to organize myself to do what it is that I really, really wanted to do. And even in music, as I mentioned to you, when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, I used to write music, and I would test things out to see if they would work or not. And I remember one or two people in particular, friends of mine, I guess you could call them friends, but they used to make fun of me by some of the things that I would write. And I said, "Look, I'm just experimenting. I just want to see what it sounds like and find out why these particular rules work and why some don't work."
Yes.
And I had this, you know, and they would make fun of me. So I would, I would say, "You know what? In a couple of years, you know, it's going to be totally different. I'm going to learn how to do this." Well, believe it or not, in about 2 or 3 years, as I mentioned, I used to go to the National Jazz Clinics out in Salt Lake City and Sacramento, and I would had an opportunity to work with some of the best high school musicians in the country, and I got an award for being the best high school musician 1 year, and I would write these arrangements, and Doc Severinsen and some other people that are well known in the music business. People would recognize be there at these jazz clinics. Well, I would get a recording of some of the things that I would write, and then I would go home and I would put it in front of my high school friends, and of course they couldn't play it. it was a little bit too challenging for them. But like I said, I just knew that if I organized myself to do what I really, really wanted to do, then it would work, you know, and I would be successful from that point of view. Right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we all do it in different ways. I mean, that's really the essence of what following your hunches is all about. You know, you mentioned the gentleman who talked about the sixth sense. I believe that we actually use our sixth sense more than we do our other five.
Mm.
I'm a very firm believer in that. And as I mentioned to you, there's the prophetic gift, and then there's also the clairvoyant gift. Some people see in pictures. They may not get an inner knowing. Okay? They may not get a hunch, but what they do is they can visualize things in their mind very, very easily. Okay? And that's what we call the clairvoyant person, which obviously means clear seeing.
Yeah.
And just so you know, everyone has all four of these gifts, but what we do is we use one as our main one. And that's where we make our best decisions. The other two are clairaudience, which means clear hearing. That's where a person has a running conversation in their mind a lot. And there are personality types that go with each one, and I'll mention those in a minute if you want me to. The healing gift is one of the most famous, obviously, because everybody wants to be a healer. Well, and the facts are that everybody can be a healer. We are healers. Even though that's my last gift, I use it a lot. I use it, 90% to 100%. So we can unfold all of these gifts so that we can move in and out of each one, and that way we can not only communicate with ourselves better, but we can also communicate with our kids, with our friends, the people we work with. I mean, it's the essence of who we are inside, as I mentioned. Okay, and if people can learn how to unfold these gifts, then they can blend in, they can move in and out of any situation, and feel confident, secure, and all of that.
Yeah. When you talk of anyone being able to be a healer, do you mean self-healing or the healing of others or both?
Well, actually both. One of the things that I learned very early about people who have the first gift of healing, as I mentioned, we have all four, but they do come in a certain order. Okay. For example, my order is prophecy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, and healing. Okay. And actually, I don't know, do you want to know what your order is, Mike? I'll be glad to tell you what your order is.
Oh, well,
yeah. Actually, you and I are very similar. We only have two gifts that are switched, okay? You have prophecy first, okay,
yeah.
Then clairvoyance, okay, and then healing, okay, and then clairaudience, okay?
Right, yeah.
So the way you'll communicate with yourself and other people, which is terrific, and that is that you will get a hunch or an impression about something first. Okay? Then you'll get a picture in your mind, then a feeling, and then an understanding or an idea. Okay?
Yes.
Does that make sense at all?
Yes, 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 indeed.
Okay.
I can see the way it links very, very nicely together, yes.
Right, exactly, and you and I are very similar in that regard. That our first gifts are prophecy and then clairvoyance. Okay,
right.
And the way I use it is I'll pick up a hunch, I'll pick up an impression about something, and then I will visualize it in my mind of exactly how I want to use it. But like I said before, and to answer your question, everyone has the gift of healing, whether it's first or second or third or fourth. And the real healing comes in concepts. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, in our first 7 years, that's when we pick up all the good things and the not so good things. We're like little sponges, and we pick up the concepts from our parents or whoever raised us. It could be a fear of being alone. It could be a fear of rejection. It could be anything that keeps us separated from ourselves. That makes us feel guilty or angry or frustrated or resentful or any of those quote-unquote emotions. See, that's the difference between a feeling, pardon me, and an emotion.
Yeah.
A feeling is something that inspires you. A feeling is something that makes you get up out of bed every morning, or get up off of your chair to actually do something. If you procrastinate, or if you doubt yourself, or you feel guilty about something, that's actually a concept that we've been taught to feel, and that's an emotion. A feeling is more of a response, and an emotion is actually a reaction. Okay? So we call those feelings of the intellectual side because that's something that we've been taught. Okay? So the way to heal ourselves is to understand where those emotions came from. In psychology, sometimes we figure that there's something wrong with us that we have to fix. But in reality, we're perfect already as a soul, as a person. We're really perfect already. All we have to do is discern the difference between what's the real us and the concepts that we picked up from those people who raised us. So to me, that's the essence of what healing is all about. And if I can help a person to understand that, then not only can I help them to heal themselves, but they can start recognizing, you know, when they put pressure on themselves, when they're doubting themselves, when they're in the wrong place at the right time, and start actually doing something about it. To me, if it's not practical, what's the point?
Yes, indeed. Do you believe that when people get hunches, that they work for them if they follow them through, regardless of what their motives are?
Say that again. You said if people get hunches, what was that about the motives? I didn't quite understand.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, if I may put it another way, that not everybody's motives in life are for the best reasons.
Right.
So if they get a hunch, say, about doing something that they shouldn't, do you think it still works for them, even regardless of that?
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, basically, everyone gets hunches. I mean, there's no question about the fact that we all get hunches. That's just the essence of who we are. A healer will get a feeling for something. A clairaudient will get an idea for something. As a matter of fact, since you're on that particular subject, you know, people obviously they hear voices like, you know, go kill this person or go hurt this person or something like that. They're not working with their own guidance. Obviously, they're working with an emotional situation within themselves. It's not healthy. And those are not their spiritual guides. Those are not their angels, if you want to put it that way. They're just tuning into the emotional side of themselves. So it's not that people don't get impressions or feelings or ideas or visualizations or dreams about something. You know, the bottom line is, where is it coming from? Is it coming from our true feelings or is it coming from our emotions? That's what our true sensitivity really is, our feelings. Okay, I want to make sure people understand that. You know, when I talk about emotions, you know, that is not really a hunch. It's more of an inner thought or an inner emotion that actually keeps us from using our true feelings. Okay? So it's not that people, people who are confused or people whose motives are not clear, it's not that they don't get hunches, but to be honest with you, they probably don't listen.
Mm.
Well, in other words, they talk themselves out of it.
Yes. Would you say that it might be described as an energy that drives you, that you respond to without reasoning why?
Well, yeah, you're talking about the people whose motives are not clear, right?
Well, where it's emotional rather than, say, a steady, thought-out action.
Well, exactly. See, that's what makes people successful is taking that first impression and organizing it and then putting it into action. But what happens with people whose motives are not clear, maybe they want to take advantage of people, maybe they want to take advantage of themselves or get involved in things that are not healthy, those are the emotions, like I said, they're feelings of the intellect. They're the concepts that they picked up in their first 7 years, And we talk about the law of life balance. When people go on the website, which is innerexpansion.com, they can sign up for a free newsletter, and I send them a free ebook, and it talks about the law of life balance. Well, what happens is when the intellectual side overwhelms the feelings, then people become what we call a semi-intellectual, and what they do is they analyze and dissect everything, and sometimes they think that they know it all, but in reality, what's happening there is they're escaping life. They're escaping their true feelings. Okay? On the other side of the coin, sometimes what happens is that the feelings overwhelm the intellect, and that's a person that tries to take care of everybody else, but they have a hard time taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
So the key is to have a thought for every feeling and also a feeling for every thought. And I have a little symbol that I work with the law of life balance, and there's a little yellow line in between the two halves of this magnet, and that's where we make a decision. One of the reasons why people get so confused and why they don't really follow through with their true feelings is because they don't make a decision. And that's where, I always tell people in lectures and workshops that I do that procrastination sometimes can be the worst thing that we can do, because we do get an impression, we do get a hunch or a feeling or an idea about something, and if we put it off or we doubt ourselves and we don't follow through with how we feel or what we think might be a good idea, then what happens is that the timing gets off. And our spiritual helpers, our guidance on the back end, are trying to help us to be in the right place at the right time by giving us a lot of those impressions and a lot of those ideas. And then they have to coordinate a lot of other things on the back end to get us back in the situation where, the door was open. See?
Yeah, indeed.
Yes,
carry on.
That's what happens. When we don't follow through, we don't make a decision. When we do get that hunch or that impression, then we have to go around to a completely different cycle. It could be an hour. It could be 3 days. It could be 3 years. It could be a long time before we actually can get back into that same situation where that door is open for us.
Yes. I wanted to ask you something that's obviously covered in your book, although I haven't read it. When you talk of hunches, how do you tune into them, as you call them?
Well, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, we get about 80 to 90 a day. We just don't realize it. A lot of times when people are talking to themselves, and just so you know, Mike, as a prophetic, that's one of the key traits of the prophetic gift is that we talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that. But sometimes
I talk to myself all the time.
What can I say? That's the fun part, because if you understand the gifts and how they work and the personality types that go with each one, it's great fun to be able to learn about ourselves from that point of view. And it's the same with me. I'll be driving down the road and I'll be talking out loud, and I'll talk to myself and so forth. And that's like a hunch, okay?
Yeah.
The other thing about prophetics, just so you know, is sometimes we'll be scanning. It's almost like we're out there scanning all the time for all this information and so forth, and we're very creative people. And you'll be driving down the motorway or the freeway, and you'll miss your exit, right? I don't know if you've ever had that experience.
Oh, often, yes, often.
Yeah. And so that's the prophetic gift. But the positive side of the prophetic gift is that we're creative. We get these hunches. We get these impressions. We have a big picture. We don't like the details so much, but we get the big picture of what it is that we want to accomplish. And then, of course, obviously the key after that is just simply to organize ourselves and put things in priority order and make them happen. Clairvoyance, the way they do it is they will automatically get pictures. Now, it's almost like a scenario. They love to read, for example, because they can visualize what's happening. If Barnes & Noble or Borders could rally all of the clairvoyants in one room, I think their stock would go up about 100 times. And I think they need that at this point, to be honest. But that's what a clairvoyant does. And if they can visualize it in their mind, they can make it work. okay? And clairvoyants get those pictures all day long, and it's so second nature to them, sometimes they don't even know that they do it, okay? And that's why it's important, at least in my opinion, to understand how the gifts work and what order they come in, so that I know what to pay attention to. A clairaudient will get a lot of ideas and thoughts. It's like a running conversation going on in their mind all the time. And they're the people that like to be chairman of the board. They like to be president of the company or own their own business because they like to make decisions. They get an idea for something, and then they get the facts. They get the what, when, where, and why. And then they go for it, and if they believe in something, then they don't quit. They just keep moving, and of course, if they're nice, then they ask you to get out of the way before they move forward, you see? Those kind of people.
Right.
A feeler or a healer, they're the ones that are very, very sensitive, and they have to follow their inner feelings, because if they don't, what happens is they end up picking everybody else's feelings, and they get involved in other people's troubles. So it's very important for a healer to be very discerning about the energy that's around them, because they do pick up feelings all day long, and that's why a lot of people don't like going into malls and in public places, because they're so sensitive. They pick up all this stuff from everybody else, all this garbage, as they say. And they don't know how to shake it off. One of the things that we have on the website is a personal energy cleansing technique that people can do anytime they want to. If they could do it 20 times a day if they want to, really. And what it does is it helps them to build a nice big buffer zone around them so that their energy is very clear, and they don't get involved in other people's emotions and troubles. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the things that we have that really helps people.
Right. Now, sort of a double question here, but it's related. How can we apply hunches to improve our relationships or, say, our business or occupation? How do we use it in that respect?
Well, I'll tell you this. By understanding the personality types of each gift, as I mentioned before, what that does is that helps you to pay attention to those ideas, to those feelings, to those hunches, to those pictures that come to you. For example, my father was a clairaudient, and as I mentioned before, he was owned four telephone companies, very successful guy. You know, he was in World War II and came out of that and decided that he wanted to start his own business, so he did that. Well, as a clairaudient, he listened to the ideas and the thoughts that came to him, and he was a very practical person. He actually passed on in 1978, but he was at too young of an age, I must add. But he was a brilliant person, and what he would do is he would take an idea and he would organize it, like I said, put it into what, when, where, and why, and make it work from a business point of view. Okay, my mother was more of a healer, and I know that was her first gift. And what she would do is she would work with people. She was a people person, and that's what people do when their first gift is healing, is they can't stand not to work with people. And I used to watch her. She would direct local political campaigns and so forth, you know, for her particular party, and she would get volunteers. I remember one time I went to a luncheon that she sponsored with about 20 women that would do these calling campaigns. And I watched her, and I saw how she could inspire people. And that's what healers do. You know, they, like I said before, they do have to watch getting involved in everybody else's troubles, but when they are on their own pivot point, they are incredible when it comes to inspiring people and motivating people and so forth. So when you understand exactly how you do pick up those hunches, and like I said, the hunches really are more the prophetic gift. Visualizing things are more the clairvoyant gift. having that inner voice is the clairaudient gift, the practical side. And then the healing gift, is listening to those feelings inside. So that's the key. And one of the things I wanted to mention to you is that people can learn what their first gift is at no charge. I don't know if this is blatant promoting, Mike, but if they go to innerexpansion.com, we'll actually send them their first gift so they can see how they use it the most.
That's fine. It's quite all right with me. Now, Howard, what I want to do is to ask you another question, and then I'll give out the toll-free numbers that people in the U.S. and Canada can use to ring into the program. There might be some who wish to ask you a question. So if you will answer the next question, I will give the numbers out after you finish. What I wanted to ask you is a simple thing, really. Is a vision different to a hunch?
Right. That's what I was mentioning before. Prophetics. Let me start by saying this. When people talk about the sixth sense, so they talk about sensitivity or being psychic or whatever, that's more of a catch-all phrase. Remember how they used to use the phrase women's intuition? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, what about us guys, Mike? I mean, come on. Okay. You know,
yes.
We use it just as much as everybody else, right? Okay. So that's kind of a catch-all phrase. So when people talk about hunches, that's the prophetic type of person. That's a person who gets a hunch or an impression or an inner knowing. It's almost like you just know what's going to happen. And prophetics, they have dreams that come true. I don't know if you've ever had a dream that came true or not.
Yes, I have.
That is the prophetic gift that does that, and that's what hunches are all about. It's like an impression about something. You just have that inner knowing. Pictures or visions are the clairvoyant gift, and everyone has a clairvoyant gift. Everyone has a prophetic gift, but it depends on the order that it comes in. And same thing with clairaudience. Clairaudience, it's like that inner voice, like a running conversation going in their mind all the time. And that's why when clairaudients go to the parties or places where there are crowds, they have to, after a while, they have to go steal into the other room just to collect their thoughts because it becomes overwhelming for them.
Okay.
Same thing with healers. They're the ones that get the feelings, and so obviously they have to protect themselves, as I mentioned.
Yes, indeed. Right. I'll give out the two toll-free numbers that our listeners can use, and then we'll carry on until perhaps we get a call. Now, in the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. I'll just repeat them once more. For the U.S., say 877-876-5227, and Canada, 888-815-9756. That should have given them time to write that down. Where do you think inspiration comes from, Howard?
Oh, well, I'm a great believer in spiritual guidance. And that's one of the things I wrote about in my book. As a matter of fact, that's a chapter in the book, Where Does Inspiration Come From?
Right.
And I found out 35 years ago that I had a personal team of spiritual helpers. Now, just so you know, some people call them angels, some people call them guides, some people call them master souls. Actually, when they come around you, they give you little chills or goosebumps. And I learned that I could communicate with them directly. That's one of the things that we do, with inner expansion is to show people how to have a solid two-way communication with their spiritual helpers so that they can actually confirm the inspiration that comes to them. As a matter of fact, I was showing I had a consultation with a lady in Dubai this morning, and I showed her how to do that, and I showed her how to check with her spiritual helpers whether the inspiration was coming from them or whether it was her imagination, and she was able to do that instantly. And I learned how to do that 35 years ago, and since then I've shown, a few thousand people how to do that for themselves, and to me, It's amazing. I mean, the idea of being able to get answers for myself, you can't even put a price on it. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Just unbelievable.
Right. Now you are the founder of Inner Expansion Workshops. How do you work? Do you tour different countries and set your workshops up as you go along?
When the internet happened, I had to find a way to be able to show people a lot of these techniques over the phone. And I woke up in the middle of the night, talk about a hunch or an idea, woke up in the middle of the night around 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got this hunch, this idea. I wonder if I could show people how to have that two-way communication with their guidance right over the phone, because I'd never done that before. I'd always traveled. I've been to about 13 countries showing people how to do this all over Europe and Australia and Canada and the United States and other places in the Caribbean. I had to find a way because we were getting so many inquiries into the website. I had to find a practical way to be able to show people how to do this. At the same time, we also do workshops around the world. I do them all across the United States and Canada. As you may know, I just got back from Geneva. I was there for a couple of months, and I stopped over in Brighton and met with some people there, and I did a talk for some people there before coming back to the United States. So it's really the best of both worlds, being able to not only show people how to do this in person, but also to be able to do it right over the phone or actually even over the internet.
Right. So I take it from that you have a telephone number that you're prepared to give out if people wish to consult you.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. You bet.
Would you like to give that out now?
Sure, yeah. The toll-free number in the United States and Canada would be 866-241-6708. Okay. Internationally, they can call 1-949-474-5542. And those telephone numbers, just so you know, Mike, are also on the website, which is innerexpansion.com. It's INNER, expansion.com.
That's fine. Okay. Presumably, it would go without saying the details of your book, how to purchase it, etc., are also on that same website.
Oh, yeah. Inner Guidance and the Four Spiritual Gifts, you can get it through Amazon.com or Amazon.co.uk. Or you can order it through any of the major bookstores. It's all there. Yeah, and I appreciate you mentioning that. That's great. Thank you.
That's fine. I would like to give you a chance to tell people what it is you want to put to them, what you want to sell in the way of books, CDs, or whatever. And I will confirm those details when I do the archive report for BBS Radio. So if anyone's missed any of that information, I will make it available to them. Now, how do we actually get to a point where we can trust our intuition, that is, to know what is intuition and what is not?
Hmm. Boy, that's a good question. I mean, I guess, you know, I can give you a pat answer and say, well, right away. if you know what your first gift is, you can start tuning in and trusting it right away because you'll know exactly how you do pick up the information. But truthfully, sometimes I think it's, well, let me put it this way. It's a lifetime opportunity to discern the difference between our feelings and our emotions. One of the things that we do is provide some advanced consultations and workshops where people can learn how to release some of the concepts that don't belong to them that they picked up in their first 7 years. But the easy way to do it is just to recognize that when you start getting frustrated, that's when the alarm bells can go off. I had a gentleman tell me one time that the moment I start feeling frustrated, that means that someone else is in control. In other words, I'm not in control of my own energy anymore, right?
Yeah.
So whenever I start feeling frustrated, I realize that in essence, I'm actually trying to change them. Okay, and I don't think that personally, I don't think I have a right to change anybody. So if I start feeling frustrated or angry or resentful towards someone else, or you know, blame somebody else for something that's going on with me, then I have to, you know, I have to stop and say, wait a minute, you know, they may be confused, but that doesn't mean that I have to buy into it, you know, and I don't have to give them my power, see? So that's like a little red light for me. Just so you know, Mike, whenever I start feeling frustrated or angry or upset about something, which I got to be honest, doesn't happen that often. But when it does, I say, wait a minute, that's just not me. I don't need to give my power over to somebody else, and that's how I stay in my true feelings. And also, as I mentioned earlier, there's a technique that's in the book and also on the website called the personal energy cleansing technique. And what I will do is I'll stop and I will cleanse myself. It's a very simple technique. It takes about a minute to do. And what it does is it builds a buffer zone of energy around me so that I don't have to get involved in other people's troubles or other people's energy. And I hear that all the time from people, whether it's men or women, it doesn't really matter. They say, gee, you know, how can I stop picking up all these negative vibrations from other people? And I say, well, it's pretty simple. You know, you just do this little technique, and it works.
Right. Do you believe that we have something that some people call a higher consciousness?
Oh, wow. That is a good question. Yeah. I will answer it seriously because, you know, I've never felt like that it was my right to keep things to myself. Okay? I used to tell people I don't think I have a right to keep people ignorant. Okay? And if I know something that will help someone, then why in the world would I want to keep that to myself? Okay?
Yes.
Now, the reason I say that is because there's a huge difference between, at least in my opinion anyway, between a high soul and an old soul. Okay? An old soul, obviously, is someone who's been here many, many, many times, but they may still be learning what they need to learn, and that doesn't mean that they're, you know, they have a high state of consciousness. But a high soul is someone who is more benevolent, who's willing to give of themselves or to share what they've learned with other people. I don't mean that they do everything for everybody else and nothing for themselves. As a matter of fact, that's one of the key points that I try to make in the book, is how important it is to be loyal to ourselves first. We're always taught to make everybody else more important, and we end up leaving ourselves out. And that's one of the ways that we, you know, give our energy out, and we don't have enough energy to do what we want to do. But in reality, the idea is that if I'm doing something good for myself, if I'm inspiring myself, if I'm doing what I really enjoy, then what will happen is that I will feel very benevolent. I want to share that. I want to help other people to be able to do the same thing as well. And to me, that's, if you pin me down and ask me for a definition, I would say that really is what a high soul is all about, or somebody that has a high level of awareness.
Yeah. So you believe that some people have or are able to contact that level of consciousness whilst others cannot?
Well, I think it's just a matter of attitude. I mean, obviously, we're all just a product of our experiences. I've said many times that we're the sum total of every experience that we've had through lifetimes.
Yeah.
And you know, we going back to what you had mentioned earlier in the program, we do come in with a plan. We do come in with a purpose. And whatever consciousness we have, whatever experience that we bring with us, that's where we are. And obviously, there are people who are coming into planet Earth for the first time. They're people who have been here many, many, many lifetimes. The interesting thing that I get a kick out of is the people who have been here many, many lifetimes, sometimes they look at these people who've only been here a couple of times or whatever, and they say, why don't these people get it? You know? And,
yes,
you know, I have to laugh because, you know, if you're in a master's course in college and you're looking at someone who's in the second or third grade, and you look at them and say, well, gee, how come you don't know how to live and let live? You know, how come you don't know how to be non-judgmental?
Yes.
And, you know, they haven't gone through that experience yet. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, they're doing the best they know how. It's just that they haven't gotten to that point yet. So that's why obviously it's important to be patient and understanding when you're dealing with people with all different states of consciousness and experience.
Yes, I totally agree with you there. Now, I've got to take a couple of minutes at the end of my time to announce my guests for next week. So maybe we've got time for another question or two. I would think that most people's interest in life relates to their personal relationships. Now, they would ask you, how can they use their hunches to improve that relationship? Say, even with people who are married, trying to make a go of them.
Right. Understanding the four personality types and the four gifts obviously is the first step. That is the first step to being able to understand how your partner communicates. For example, if I'm a prophetic and I just have that inner knowing and then my partner is a clairvoyant, if I don't give them a picture for what it is that I'm talking about, it's very difficult for them to feel secure and to feel like we're actually communicating with each other. I think that's number one. That is the first priority in step number one. Step number two is just understanding that when people get under pressure, they don't communicate like themselves. What they'll do is they'll communicate like their mother or they'll communicate like their father, see? So when you have two people under pressure, guess what, Mike? You've got one person's mother or father communicating with the other person's mother or father.
You've got problems, you mean.
Okay, so you know, no wonder, and you know, you're thinking, this is not the person that I married. What happened? Okay, and in reality, it's not the person that you married or not the person that you're partnering with or whatever it is. It's because they're not communicating like themselves. They're communicating like their mother or their father or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So those are some of the keys. And every relationship has to be 50-50. If I'm giving 80% and the other person is giving 20, then obviously I'm going to end up feeling pretty taken advantage of after a while. So everyone has to be totally 100% responsible for themselves first, and then you can have what some people call an H relationship, where, you know, if you can visualize the letter H, then, you know, you have a connection there, but you have two people standing on their own two feet. Or you can have an A relationship, which is two people leaning on each other. And to be honest with you, I've never really been a great believer in A relationships. I never believed that a good, solid, healthy relationship was built on leaning on someone else or feeling like you had to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Now, the best way to do it is for everyone to have their own personal direction, have their own purpose very, very clear in their mind, and then obviously enjoy that 50-50 relationship that they can have. And to me, it's once you break it down into that perspective, then it becomes a little bit more clear what's happening and why people have trouble communicating with each other.
Right. Howard, I'm just have to give you about a minute to tell our listeners of any special message you have for them. And thank you very much for coming on to the program, because it's been a terrifically interesting talk with you, and you certainly know your own line of business, as one might say. So what would you like to say as a closing comment?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity, Mike. I think if people want to go to the website, innerexpansion.com, they can actually find out what their first gift is. What we'll do is we have a little survey that takes a couple of minutes to do, and if they want to take the trouble to do that, then what we will do is we will actually check with guidance what their first gift is, so they can see how they pick up those hunches, how they pick up those ideas and thoughts or feelings, okay? And to me, what that will do is give people something practical that they can use, and I appreciate that.
That's great. Fine. Thank you very much. I'll wish you goodbye now. Thank you, Howard. And I'll tell our listeners that next Friday I have Olivia Melody, who is a renowned sound healer. She's also a spiritual channel and inspirational speaker, as well as the founder of the Crystal Vibrations music label, and she presents concerts, workshops, and readings throughout the United States and is a highly respected spiritual teacher. She's dubbed the Angel Whisperer for her accuracy in spiritual life readings by Awareness Magazine. That was in 2004. That should be enough to whet your appetite. Thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.